So Valentine's Day was yesterday, and earlier today, I read up stat that said that nearly half of men used AI to write their love messages in the Valentine's Day card.
Like, really?
Nearly half of guys went and used like ChatGPT or something like that to write a message to their significant others. And I thought, what is happening?
You know what? I mean, those numbers are interesting. Startling, really. What do you think the percentages of their spouses, their partners, that are going to recognize the fact that it's somebody else writing it? Because chances are, if you're going to ChatGPT or whatever it is to go ahead and write your card, your other cards have failed, right? And this one will be markedly better, I would imagine.
Well, that's what I was thinking. So my husband, I mean, I adore him, but he is not a romantic guy. He's not writing me a love poem. He's never going to write me a love song. That's not Paul. When he writes his cards, it's basically like love, comma, Paul.
Right. Or, right. Your husband.
Yeah. I love you. Love, Paul. That's it. Right. And now he's gotten into the habit, because I do it all the time, that he signs his name and the kid's name. So even on the Valentine's Day card, it was from him and the girls.
Right. You know? We all love you.
Everybody loves you. Everything is good.
Mm-hmm.
So all of a sudden, if I were to open up that card, and there was like some Shakespearean nonsense written in there about gazing into my eyes and looking out into the yonder, into our future, I would be like, something's up. He's either having an affair or he used ChatGPT and nothing in between, right?
Yeah, I would imagine so. Again, when something is that big of a change in that moment, you have to realize that something else has happened. In both the examples you're giving, somebody else has stepped into the case. One happens to be a toaster and the other one happens to be a mistress.
What did you do for your card?
I always write something personal.
Like what?
Yeah, I mean, I always, you know, just write about how much I appreciate her and something that I might be looking forward to or whatever. But, you know, maybe I should use a computer, actually.
I was about to say, like, maybe it's not. Maybe you should start using ChatGPT and sound way more romantic. Hold on. I'm logging in right now. And I wrote, write a Valentine's Day message from a non-romantic husband that loves his wife and kids.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's see what it says. Ready?
Yeah.
Oh, it's so long. Like, if my husband wrote all of this, I'm sure something terrible, like, is about to happen.
Tell it to make it shorter. Four sentences or less.
Okay. It's like 12 paragraphs.
Oh, no. 4 sentences max.
Make it 4 sentences. All right, here we go. To my amazing wife, on this special day of love, I want to express my deep admiration and gratitude for everything you do. You're not only my partner in life, but also the most incredible mother to our beautiful children. Your love and dedication inspire me every day, and I'm truly blessed to have you by my side. Happy Valentine's Day, my love. Nope. I know that's fake. I know. 100%. That's too much coming from my husband in 4 sentences.
I would switch out for some shorter words, all right? There was a couple big words in there. 3-4 syllable words is not something that a guy is going to use. Admiration, oh, you got to be choosy with where you place that. But other than that, that's what a lot of these cards would read like, I'm guessing.
Yeah, if you got that in your Valentine's Day card yesterday, now you know what's up.
Doing the right thing can be really hard.
I'm a good person, yes, it's true. I'm a good person, better than you.
That's why it's time for Credit Due.
I'm a good person.
Anna and Raven.
It's a special day after Valentine's Day, Credit Due. What did you do on Valentine's Day that nobody gave you any credit for? Raven, producer John, producer Sean, I got that phone call that parents love to get from the school nurse. That, and my little one, my 5-year-old, she's like, she's got a tummy ache. And here's the thing about Dakota. She's a lot of things, but she doesn't say she's sick if she's not sick, right? And I got on the phone, she's like, Mommy, my tummy hurts, but I want to go back and play. I go, no, if your tummy hurts, Mommy's got to come get you.
Right.
By the time I got there, they had her in a separate area with a giant bowl. And she had been vomiting the entire 10 minutes it took me to go get her.
Happy holiday.
So I spent my Valentine's Day at home sitting next to her on the couch with the bowl all night. And then my husband conveniently had to work late and walked in the door at 8 p.m. exactly when it was time for me to put her to bed.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, is she okay now? And I was like, I've been cleaning up vomit all day.
Right, on Valentine's Day, no less.
Yes. And,
well, you'll get your credit due here.
Thank you. The problem, too, is like, I'm one of those people that when I smell it or I see it,
oh, yeah.
I have that reflex.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Even
yeah.
if someone starts doing that, I'm like, ugh.
Well, yeah.
I'll tell you what I did is I went to CVS and paid full price for candy, cards, everything, despite the fact that they send me at least 5 emails a day telling me I'll get 30% off something or $4 off this or whatever. Everything was crazy when I went in there.
What? You waited till Valentine's Day.
I mean, it was a busy week running up to it. I'm just going to say it was rough.
No, no. Yeah, listen, I'm sure that Alicia understands that completely. I'm sure that everyone listening is just like, yeah, absolutely. I get it. You were busier than everybody else in
listen,
the whole world.
She has no idea until we pointed it out here. So thanks for that.
That was a you decision, bro. That was a you decision.
Give me some credit. You did it. You showed up.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And more, much more than this. I did it my
way. It was like $8 for the Reese's. Yeah. $8.
Your way was just very expensive.
Yes, yeah. It was expensive.
It's John, terrible. What did you do on Valentine's Day you didn't get credit for?
Can I tell you that me and my son put together the nicest Valentine's Day gift for his mother? Like, the nicest. And I should, as you guys know, but I should point out, like, me and his mother are not together and have not been for like several years. But I got a framed picture of him that was like professionally taken. And we go and we bring it and we give. And she's like, oh, honey, thank you so much. And then just walks away. Now, let me say this. Usually in this situation, there's at least a glance like a, hey, I see what you did there. I appreciate you.
Right.
I didn't get the glance.
Yeah. All right. Give him some credit.
Can't touch this.
And yeah, listen, I'm just saying the glance would have been nice.
All right. Okay. Sean, real quick, what did you not get credit for?
You know, we all as parents know, like, you know, your kid always wants to buy, you know, the mom something for Valentine's Day. So Isaac and Booker, quote unquote, bought their mom stuff for Valentine's Day. And of course, giving it to her, he's like, oh, this is for me and Booker. And deep down, you know, you bought it.
See?
You know, you know, you bought it.
The look. Yeah. But look, you didn't get the look.
No.
All right. You want the same credit that John got. Here we go.
You are beautiful, no matter what they say. Words can't bring you.
Great job, Sean.
Good job to all of us. High five. We made it through another Valentine's Day.
Right.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 Oh, it's time to vent. I know, you're not supposed to complain, but doesn't it feel good when you do? It's like group therapy. 1-800-330-9999. Fill in the blank. When you blank, that's all I need to know about you. Gia, that's all I need to know about you.
If you call the English language American, that's all I need to know about you. Don't even bother going to England because you will be crucified. They will throw you in the Tower of London.
Yeah, I think it's just an education thing. I remember being a kid and being like, oh, no, I speak American. My parents speak Italian, but I speak American. Mm. And then I think once you're corrected once and you're 7, you remember that. You're like, no, it's English. It's the English language.
Exactly.
Oh, Raven, why are you looking confused?
It's a non-issue to me.
You speak American?
I speak both.
Yeah.
I speak them both fluently, I might add. I mean, I think it's a dialogue thing, but I mean, nowadays you look at the melding of all language everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, England, if you're offended. But if you try throwing me in the canal or wherever you want to try it, go for it. This cowboy will kick some.
This American.
We're all cowboys over here, right? Yeah. This cowboy will kick some if that's the case. And Ann Raven, who's this?
This is Robin.
Hey, Robin. That's all I need to know about you.
That's all I need to know about you. And all I need to know about you is that you're a cheater.
Who's cheating?
My ex-husband.
Oh, it's terrible.
Oh, we're so sorry to hear that.
Wait a minute. So your ex-husband.
It's all right.
Your ex-husband
that
is cheating on somebody else.
No, he actually cheated on me twice. So I've had other people in my life do that. And I should know firsthand if I find out if you're a cheater. And that's all that I need to know about them.
True. You know, I don't know if I believe the once a cheater, always a cheater. But I think that it's definitely a trait of some people. And you know that off the bat. If willing to do it once, they might do it again.
I mean, it's not even just willing. Some people enjoy it.
Some people
like that.
I think he enjoyed it. He did it once, and then he did it again.
Well, we're sorry to hear that. We hope you have a fantastic day, though, filled with lots of love.
Thank you.
Andy, that's all I need to know about you.
Well, if you're watching a show or a movie with your spouse, and they comment on how attractive or handsome a celebrity on the show is, and it offends you, that's all I need to know about you.
The insecurity thing. Some people are just so insecure. Yeah.
Makes no sense. people are supposed to be good looking on TV. You know, that's their job.
Yeah, you can't get offended if somebody, if my husband's like, wow, she's really pretty. I don't know. I would look at him and be like, yeah.
Yeah, does it for you?
Yeah, all right.
I mean, I think, yeah, it's implied or understood that there's going to be good looking people, many of them on television.
You know what I will admit to, though? I always find it interesting that all the women that my husband has told me that he thinks are really pretty look nothing like me.
Yeah, well, that's what he's going for. He's thinking in his head right there, all right? Mm-hmm. He's saying, I love my wife, but if she was dead tomorrow, I'm going this way next time.
He's like, I'm going to get a tall brunette.
Brunette.
Yep, that's who he's going to go for.
Right. She won't be funny at all.
No.
She won't even speak most of the time.
She'll be very serious.
She may be mute. I don't know if she speaks.
Just curious, parents, do you feel like when your kids come home with all their Valentine's Day stuff from school, you're like, what has Valentine's Day turned into?
It's definitely evolved, that's for sure.
Oh my gosh. So I remember growing up, we would take like the pink and purple construction paper and we would cut hearts out of it and we would write to and then love and then sign our name.
Mm-hmm.
And then we would collect them in our brown paper bags and that was Valentine's Day.
Yeah, you would, you know, maybe tape a couple junky candies to it or whatever and put those together and, you know, that was it.
So yesterday, my younger daughter, Dakota, she's in kindergarten. She had like her first big Valentine's Day in school. Here I was talking to her about it.
Dakota, how was Valentine's Day today?
Good.
And did you have a Valentine?
Yeah. It was
Oh, are you giggling? Do you like him?
Yeah.
What do you like about him?
He likes to play with me sometimes.
He plays with you? Do you have a crush on him?
Yes.
Oh, young love. Yeah, there. I think that Well, they have a lot in common. They both sit at the nut-free table. So,
oh, well, then they're destined to be together for a few years,
yeah.
Right?
So it's very, very cute, and she's so giddy about it. But, you know, she comes home, and she's got this. We had to make a box. First of all, do you remember growing up that you have to make and decorate your own box to collect Valentine's?
Didn't remember that.
Yeah, I went to one of those craft stores. They had full kits for it. I'm like, I guess everybody has to do this now.
Okay.
So I asked her what was her favorite thing that she received yesterday in her Valentine box.
What was your favorite Valentine that you got?
From my teacher.
What did your teacher give you?
My teacher gave me a pencil.
Now you would think like, oh, she got a pencil from her teacher. Like how nice, right?
Yeah.
I present to you a bag full of toys that she got in her Valentine box.
I mean, that's a big bag.
It's a big bag. Here, Raven, is a Lego set from Michael. Here
nice.
You go. Here, here, here. Here, just throw it. You can put it together. Here we have.
Why do I have to put it together? There's so many little parts in this thing.
Wait, look. Oh, we have a Frisbee.
What?
Catch that.
What?
Okay.
I mean, this is a studio with working equipment in here. This stuff is expensive.
Stuffed animal. Who's this stuffed animal from? Oh, it's from Emmy. Emmy gave a stuffed animal.
Okay.
I'm just throwing all these things
at
Raven. Yeah. We've got, look, we got a flying airplane.
Thank
you. But it's not paper. It's made of foam.
I'm not putting that together, too.
I'm putting that one together because I'm going to throw it at the producers later. All right. Oh, here's a mini soccer ball stress ball.
Good.
Yep. I got all kinds of fidgets. I've got bracelets. I have an easel. Look, look, look. An easel that came with its own painting set. What is this?
Where is the Skittles? Are there any Skittles?
I will say that Dakota School is a candy-free school because there's so many allergy kids, including my own daughter, so I'm very thankful for that.
You sent her to a special school for allergies?
No, she goes to a regular public school.
It's a school with a high percentage of allergies.
I'm sure a lot of schools do that, but... Dakota's my nut-free kid.
We sent her to a special one.
We sent her to a special school.
Sounds like you've got to go to boarding school. You're allergic to peanuts.
How do I look with these new sunglasses on?
Those are cool.
You like these sunglasses?
Those are cool, actually.
When did Valentine's Day become like, instead of just giving like a piece of paper that says to, from, I like you more than a friend, all of a sudden there's all these toys. There's all these things.
Yeah.
Like, I almost didn't give a toy, and I had like
lesson learned first year.
Oh my gosh. Last minute, I'm like, these are the cheapest little things ever. I'm like, let me just go on Amazon and like for like $8 I got like 25 of those, I don't know, they're little squish ball things, and I put it with them, and I was thinking in my head I was gonna be the hero. Oh, no.
Yeah.
I didn't know we were getting Lego sets.
How is this Lego set still have 18 steps and it fits right in the palm of my hand?
I don't know, but Valentine's Day sure has changed a lot.
For sure.
What do you think is your most toxic trait? Raven, I'm looking at this list that just popped up. It's trending about how to spot toxic traits in relationships and in your friends.
Okay.
And I'm looking over this list of things and I'm thinking some of us have these.
Of course.
And then there's other ones that like hate different ones. But I think that everybody has some toxic traits. Like, it's just part of being a human being.
Well, right. Eye of the beholder too, right? Mm-hmm. What is toxic for one person may be all that the other person enjoys or wants in their life, right? And it's quite something to turn the mirror on yourself.
Right.
And look at yourself and say, which one of these is me and which one is truly detrimental?
Absolutely. So I'm looking at this list. Let's go over a few of them. So one is a toxic trait is being judgmental. And I can't stand people that are judgy. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like, do what you want with your life. And, like, and it's none of your business. Stay out of it. Like, I've always truly believed that.
Yes. But on the other hand, there's a certain amount of judgment that's in everybody's nature. I mean, it's part of what we do here every single day.
Toxic trait is being unkind. People that are unkind. And I have so little respect for people that are unkind.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, be nice to people. Even if you have to fake it, be nice to people.
That one's pretty clear.
Yeah.
Right.
Dishonest people. I don't like liars. Liars irk me. Like, I don't know what it is. Like, when you're, if you're over the age of 10,
sure,
there should not be a reason why you're lying about anything.
I'll just say it requires the degree of what is it, is the level of your lie, and what is it involved? Because again, sometimes it makes sense to lie.
Lack empathy. This one I kind of see myself in. I'm not very empathetic.
Sympathetic to some. Yeah. Right. In certain situations, right.
Overly competitive is a toxic trait.
Uh-oh. Now we got problems.
Yeah, that's something I am. I don't know. What do you think is your toxic trait, Raven?
I'm antagonistic. You know, whether it's... I don't know that I was always antagonistic because I've been doing this so long. So, I mean, like 30 years I've been in radio. And at this point, like, my job is to create conversation, right? Like, we have a conversation and I always consider the other aspect of it, right? So if somebody has an opinion, I have the opposite opinion. And it doesn't mean that I necessarily believe that, but I'm going to ask it. I'm going to raise it. And I'm going to continue to press on that. And that drives some people nuts, like my wife.
I'm sure. I was thinking about, like, what's my toxic trait?
Yeah.
One, I never truly forgive people.
Sure.
Like, even if I say, like, no, we're good. Listen, we're never going to be
good again. Right.
If you wrong me once, it's never going to be okay again. You're going to be on my list pretty much forever at that point.
Yeah. Some people would say that that's smart for your defense, but okay.
And I'm a control freak. Like, I know that. Like, and trying to, like, figure out how to navigate that while still keeping order in your life is difficult. I think a lot of moms have that control freak problem, too, because not only do you have to manage and, you know, control your work life, but then you also have to control your family life and make sure all that is operating well, too.
Well, you know, wise people would say control is an illusion, but I understand what you're doing. I mean, you're trying to keep things safe. The funny part is when these things come together and they overlap, right? Then you see that it's really part of your personality.
Tina, what's your toxic trait?
Oh, I would have to say it is my sarcasm. I just can't help it. I don't know. Anytime my husband's like, oh, do you want me to put this thing over near the barbecue? I'll be like, what do you think? Like, it's just dumb questions annoy me. So I'm kind of sarcastic a lot.
I think that's one of mine, too.
Oh, my God. I mean, I think it's all of ours.
Yeah. I think in general, most people are sarcastic.
I lose patience for conversations that they don't matter at all. I lose patience.
That's a toxic trait, and a lot of people have it.
Yep.
Trending, it's what's your toxic trait? There's all these articles right now about how to spot toxic traits in relationships and in friendships. And it's funny because you look through the list and you're like, some of these I see in myself.
Sure.
And others I see in other people.
Every time you name one, so far, I mean, my percentages are like 75%. I've got a piece of at least each of these, right?
People that refuse to grow, that's a toxic trait.
But yeah, that one, not me.
Mm-hmm. People that always play victim. We were talking about that one. That's a toxic trait.
Sure.
Yeah. People that can't be serious. Oh, that's my least favorite. Like, when you're trying to have a real conversation with somebody and they keep cracking jokes, or like they won't make eye contact. Like, what? We have to talk here, you know?
When I see that or encounter that, I often think to myself, like, you know, this is a defense mechanism that they have built up too over time, because they obviously have some sort of trauma or upsetting things too.
I have a toxic trait where I say, when my friends ask me what I want to do and I say I'm down for anything.
Yeah.
I'm not actually down for anything.
You're not.
There has to be, like, there has to be a parking lot where it's convenient parking. It has to be early enough that I can go to bed by 9 o'clock. They have to serve margaritas. Like, I'm not really down.
Your list of demands has gotten longer. Right, it has.
Nate, what's your toxic trait?
I guess cynicism. I don't really give people the benefit of the doubt all the time. I just kind of think they're up to something or they have a motive, and yeah.
I mean, I think that for a bit, like, we've kind of been trained that way, right, in some ways, right? I mean, I think that if you go around, listen, you want, in general, people are good, but a person can have all sorts of different motives. Once you get burned a couple times, you don't want to get burned again. Those are hard lessons to learn, you know, especially when you get burned financially or whatever, you know, or something that puts your freedom at risk or somebody you care about. You'll remember that forever. It's traumatizing.
I don't think being cynical is that bad of a trait. I have the opposite, where I innately believe people are good until you prove me wrong.
Oh.
And I, like, have a reputation with a couple of my good girlfriends that, like, I am not a good judge of character off the bat. Because I always think people are good and they have the best intentions. And as I've learned, that's not a real thing. David, what do you think is your most toxic trait?
So if I hear people that, like, if they chew a little loudly, I'll automatically just, after I go on a date with them or hang out with them, I'll block them. Automatically. Just, no, I can't stand, like, people chewing. It reminds me of a horse, and it kind of makes me sick.
Wow. I think I fall under the judgmental toxic trait, don't you think? Like, you're very judgy of somebody. If you don't like the way they eat, then you've eliminated them from your life by blocking them.
You can't stop your mind from having an impulsive thought. It's what you say out loud, what you let your face, you know, reveal.
Who you block.
Yes.
Because they sound like a horse.
Yes, there's that. Right. Right. Maybe you do want to come to some sort of understanding of your feelings on that and have, like, a thing that you do, like an exercise you do instead of doing that next time. I don't know.
Stop leaking overnight on your period. Always night pads are designed for a perfect night's sleep with up to 100% leak protection, so you can do your sleep thing. What's the word or phrase that you use to avoid saying an actual swear word? You can call 1-800-330-9999. So there's this trend on TikTok and Instagram, and my teenager, my 15-year-old, was begging me to do it with my 5-year-old.
Okay.
It's what they do is they put the young children in the bathroom, and they set up the camera, and they say, you're only allowed to use potty words in the potty.
Okay.
Got it? Only here in this potty. And then they walk out, they hit record, and the kids say the words that they know. And, you know, I watched it, and don't get me wrong, there's a lot of them that are funny, and they're viral, and the kids saying certain words, you laugh. But I was like, I'm not doing this with my kid. Like,
you don't need to encourage it.
I don't need to encourage it, and yeah. I just feel like, knowing Dakota, like, she's going to say it in the bathroom, and she's going to go out and say it to the world. You know?
Yeah, like, so that's the thing, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, if you're teaching them and they actually follow the rules and they only say it in the bathroom, then there's a certain amount of discipline and a filter that goes involved.
But as any parent of a teenager would tell you, right. I have no control over what happens in my house when I'm not paying close attention. And it's exactly what Hayden, my 15-year-old, did to my 5-year-old. She put her in the bathroom and she said to her, okay, you're only allowed to say bad words in here. She set up her phone and recorded it. And then afterwards, she was dying laughing and she sent it to me. And this is what it sounded like. This is Dakota, my 5-year-old, in the potty.
So this word is kind of funny, but bad.
So this word is kind of funny, but bad.
Okay.
It's pinching ass. Pinching ass, pinching ass, pinching ass.
And then she just repeated it for like 5 minutes until her sister came back in.
Did she say pigeon ass?
Pinching ass? Pinching ass? Let's say pinching tush. Because even though it's not a bad word for radio, it
still
feels
bothers,
weird.
Still bothers Anna.
Right, yeah. Pinching tush. What is that? I go, who says that?
Where did you pick that up?
What?
Right.
What word is that?
Right.
It doesn't even make sense to me. And when you're allowed to say the worst words, and then part of me is like, I'm a hero. There are so many worse words she could have said in that given situation. I'm like, oh, well, you know, like, I get the sweat off my head. I'm like, all right, at least she doesn't know those words. But that's what she comes up with?
Well, you know, I mean, in her mind, that's something that's expressing a strong feeling, right? One way or the other. So to her, it makes total sense.
What's the word or phrase that you use to avoid using an actual swear word? Chris, what's that swear word that you're using in your house?
Yeah, we got a couple because I've had to really watch my, you know, tongue about things here. Holy Christmas, that's one.
Yep, that's a good one.
It sounds nice when you say it, really.
It depends on context. Also, a strange one that my child has created, ketchup.
Use it
also
in a sentence.
In context, it works. The other day he dropped his milk on his foot. He was like, ketchup. And I thought it was the strangest but cutest thing ever.
It is strange.
I like it, though. Lana, what's the word that your kid uses that isn't a real swear word?
Hey, guys. Okay. She says, what the flip-flop?
I like that.
That one.
Yeah.
It's like a kid-friendly F-bomb.
Yep. I feel it. I feel it.
Mm-hmm.
I say, okay, mother flippers. That's what I say all the time.
It still seems wrong.
Look at you.
It
see?
Still seems
look
wrong.
At you. Immediately react.
Yeah.
It's not even close.
Yeah, but I like flip-flop. What the flip-flop is better?
It's the same.
No. It is, but it's not. I don't like mother flipper. I think that sounds too much like the real thing.
I mean, but you like mother father.
Mother father's fine.
It's the same exact situation.
What is the swear word that is not a swear word, but it's the words you use, the phrases you use, so you don't say the actual bad words? 1-800-330-9999. Hi, it's Anna and Raven.
Well, when I grew up in the 70s, dumb and stupid were swear words, so I couldn't use those.
Mm-hmm.
My mom likes to use the word sugar.
Oh,
and my favorite is cheese and rice.
Cheese and rice. Cheese and rice. Cheese and rice.
Cheese and rice.
Cheese and rice.
You did it again.
You didn't clean your room yet? Cheese and rice. Oh, my gosh. Cheese and rice. I got into a car accident. Can't believe it.
That's right.
Christine, what's the word that you use that's not a swear word?
So it's a phrase. It's holy shiitake mushroom.
They are delicious and good for you. So.
They really are.
Yeah,
they
yeah.
Really
yeah. And you know, depending on your emphasis, you can use them in a lot of different ways. It's versatile.
Holy shiitake mushrooms.
Right. Anna and Raven, what's that word you guys use when you want to swear, but it's not a swear?
In my family, my grandmother has a very thick accent, so we say mother flower.
Mother flower.
Which is beautiful.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful word
to use. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
I mean, okay.
Right. I would wear a shirt that said mother flower.
Mother flower is okay, but mother flipper isn't.
Absolutely.
That makes no sense to me.
Jen, what's the word or phrase you use instead of swear words?
We take a page out of Buddy the Elf book and we use son of a nutcracker.
Son of a nutcracker.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That's always great during the holidays, too. Very
yep.
Festive.
Hey, Kate, what's that word that you use when you're feeling it? It's not a swear word, but it feels like a swear word for you.
Yeah, so what in the hee-haw?
What in the hee-haw? Right.
I like that one.
What in the hee-haw?
Yeah.
Right.
I just want to yell hee-haw. Hee-haw!
That's when
good.
You come across anything that's surprising to you or something terrible. What is this nonsense that's going on in the back room? What in the hee-haw is happening here?
Yep.
My kids love it, so.
Angela, what's the swear word you use that's not a swear word?
Shiitake mushroom.
Oh, we got that one already.
Yeah,
a lot of people use that one, apparently.
Fudge.
It's good when you use one of these crazy words or other phrases too, and somebody else knows what you're talking about, like another group of people.
Yeah.
So if you're in the grocery store and you go, "What the fudge are you doing with that? I can't take the shiitake
right.
mushrooms anymore."
Mm-hmm.
And people next cell over are like, "Oh, there's trouble over there."
Yep.
Yeah, stay away.
Right. But you guys said mother, father. We do mother, father, sister, brother.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Bob, what's the swear word you use that's not really a swear word?
Well, influenced by my Italian heritage, my best one is Fonda Gagoots.
I don't, but well, yeah, that one is okay. Yeah. You edited it well. All right.
No, that's a good one. It's okay. It's legit.
Right. I think it also refers to cucumbers at some point, right? Am I
oh,
right?
My gosh.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
We're getting out of here.
Right.
Thanks for the call. Have a great day. Anna and Raven, who's this?
This is Yvonne.
Hey, Yvonne. What's that word you use that's not a swear word, but it feels good? You say it as a swear.
Cheese and crackers.
Cheese and crackers, yeah. We got cheese and rice before. Cheese and crackers is also good.
It's just making me hungry. All this food, shiitake mushrooms. We got cheese and crackers.
Mm-hmm.
Now we had fudge. I mean, cucumbers. I'm ready for lunch. I didn't know it was going to cause so much controversy. So last Friday, before the Super Bowl, we talked about this on the air. Just released the top 5 list of foods that people eat at the Super Bowl. 4 out of 5 I can sign off on. 1, we should be embarrassed as Americans.
Time for war.
I don't know about war.
Okay.
But we should be upset.
Okay.
Maybe cry.
What's on this list here?
And the things that were on the list that were good foods were like nachos and buffalo wings and 6-foot wedges and things that are delicious, pigs in a blanket.
Yeah, but noted, you know, you say good foods, it's a matter of opinion. It's your opinion.
Yeah, but there was one thing on this list that made me so completely enraged. Totino's pizza rolls.
Oh, no. Why? Why would that happen?
I don't understand. We live in America.
Right.
One of the greatest places in the world for pizza.
And we can get a pizza, a full-size pizza.
Why? No. No.
Yeah.
We can't do that.
Yeah.
I mean, Totino's Pizza Rolls has its place, but it's like on a sad Wednesday when you get home from work and there's nothing else to eat in the fridge. And I stand by that. Except I got a really mean email. Actually, it wasn't that mean.
I mean, there's some people that live on this stuff for years, mm-hmm. right? I mean, after school snack, after work snack. The great thing about Totino's is you can have like 12 of them in one setting, right? One serving.
Well, here I got an email from Paula, which I printed out. Hi. Since I think you are sadly missing out on the real Totino's experience, I am here to help. Thank you, Paula.
Does she work there?
I don't know.
Okay.
Buy a bag. Okay, I did that, Paula. Before you cook them, get one stick of butter and minced garlic. Jar kind is fine. Melt butter, add garlic to taste. I love garlicky, so I go heavy. Put Totino's into a bowl. Pour butter and garlic mix over them. Toss around and get them coated. Air fryer 5 to 7 minutes at 375, but every air fryer is different. Try them, thank me later. Make Raven try them on the air, please.
A couple things here.
Yeah.
Paula's no dummy. All right. Mm-hmm. She knows that if you put some food in me, I'm probably going to give it some sort of affirmative response. Number two, is there anything on the planet that doesn't taste better with garlic and butter?
True. So here we have everything here. Producer Sean is going to be mixing everything up. So we've melted the butter, and now we're mixing the butter with the garlic in the bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Give it a nice whisk, Sean. Great job you're doing. All right.
It smells good.
All right, so now in the bigger bowl, let's toss in those Tostinos. Totinos.
I always wanted to call them Tostinos,
I don't know why. Maybe because Tostitos? It's got to be why, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, toast just rolls off the tongue.
Yeah, let's give them a nice mix in there.
Okay.
All right. Now I've brought in my giant ninja air fryer.
I see that. And once again, we have to pray that the power doesn't go out in the studio because we have one available plug.
We can't tell the engineers when we bring in the air fryer because we got in so much trouble last time because it could take everything off the air.
It really could.
But
it's not a joke.
But Paula said, thank me later, try them. So who are we to like not do it, right?
Mm.
All right, Sean, are we ready to put it in this air fryer?
I think we are.
All right, let's go turn on this air fryer. Dump it everything in. All right. Oh, we're missing one. We can't miss one.
Yeah, get them all in there.
Right. All right, turn on the air fryer. It's going. All right.
And we're still on the air.
Yeah.
At this moment.
At this moment right now. If you can hear us, blink so we know you can still hear us. All right, we got the air fryer going here in the studio, and we're going to let it cook for a few minutes. We're going to come back and try it, and we're going to report back, Paula. Are these the greatest things in the world? We'll find out next.
I'm hungry.
We've been told many times not to use the air fryer in the studio because it's going to take us off the air, but we're doing it anyway in the name of science.
Two big things we've been warned about. Don't overload the electricity and don't bring goats into the studio.
True. Last Friday, we were talking about the top five foods at the Super Bowl, people that eat at home, and I was outraged when this was on the list. Totino's pizza rolls.
Oh, no! Why? Why would that happen?
I don't understand. We live in America.
Right.
One of the greatest places in the world for pizza. I mean, Totino's Pizza Rolls has its place, but it's like on a sad Wednesday when you get home from work and there's nothing else to eat in the fridge. And then I got an email from Paula, and Paula was outraged. And she says, you are missing out, sadly, on the real Totino's experience. And she sent us a recipe.
Yeah.
One stick of butter, minced garlic, melt butter, add garlic to taste, put Totino's in a bowl. Pour butter and garlic over them, toss together, cook in air fryer for 5 to 7 minutes at 375.
Wait a minute. Did you just say that this is a full stick of butter?
Yes.
No wonder it smells like this and it tastes good.
Well, we don't know if it tastes good yet, but it definitely smells good.
I may actually have a heart attack right after I bite into one of these things. A full stick of butter.
All right, let's look at them. Sean, let's open it up because the time is up on them to be cooking. Let me look at them.
I don't think that Paula cracked the code here. I mean,
they look fantastic. Raven, look at these.
If we put a full stick of butter on a small piece of plywood, it would taste pretty decent, all I'm saying.
Well, I'm willing to give it a try because Paula insists that it's great.
Okay.
All right. In the meantime, while Sean is handing these out to all of us, you know, there's a lot of weird food combinations. What's the food combination that you swear by, like Paula and her Tostino's recipe? Lisa, how about you?
So, okay, I know this is going to sound a little kooky, but when we were young, we used to mix, you know, can of tuna with some mayo, put a slice of cheese over it, in like a bowl, almost like a trifle, and then put applesauce all over the top and eat it like a trifle.
That sounds absolutely disgusting. Tuna fish and applesauce.
Oh.
What?
So good.
That is a strange
I mean, I don't think I would try that on a dare. I don't think I would.
I don't
Oh, my gosh.
You can't forget the cheddar cheese, though. Cheddar cheese has to be on top, keeping the applesauce from kind of seeping into the tuna fish mix with mayo. It's delicious. It's, don't knock it till you try it.
I think I'm here to try it. You hear so many people talk about cheddar and apples together.
Yeah.
And I've tried that, and that's delicious. The tuna fish is the X factor, but I like tuna fish.
You know, here's the thing. If you do try it, you're going to have to prepare it in the other room.
The smell.
Yeah, because I am not here for that memo from the bosses.
Okay, so we've got the Tostinos, and I got to be honest.
They're hot.
They're really hot, and when I cut into it.
It doesn't look pizza-y.
It doesn't look yummy like I thought it was going to be.
Because you put so much butter in it. Blah.
It's still a Tostino. It's a Totino. Totino.
Mm-hmm. Soaked in butter.
Paula, they're fine, but they're not Super Bowl worthy. We tried our best.
Paula, a full stick of butter. Check your cholesterol.
Mm.
Check it.
One couple.
I don't want to keep dealing with my sister and all of the drama it's causing.
Isn't that the stupidest thing you ever heard?
One problem.
To name the baby Clifford and demand that we change our dog's name.
You decide the outcome.
Yeah, thank you. I love the audience for that.
Will be a fun story, hopefully, to us in a few years.
It's Couple Score on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us to let us know what their disagreement is about, and then it's up for you to decide who's right. Raquel and Adam. Adam, I'm going to start with you. What is going on?
Well, you know, I love my wife and everything, but she's a terrible habit of cursing. She swears a lot, you know, and she does it in front of the kids. You know, the kids are only 9 months and 3 years old. And you know how kids are. They're like sponges. You know, they don't realize what the words mean. And I don't know. She's a potty mouth.
A potty mouth.
Raquel, what's your reasoning for swearing in front of the kids?
Oh, my God. I mean, he's completely overreacting. These kids are, like, teeny tiny. They don't realize what these words mean. It's not like they're going to, like, they're not ever going to hear them, guys, right? It's more common now to swear. I mean, what is the big fat deal? Everybody does it. Like, the kids are not going to be spared, you know? At least it won't be something that they do to get me mad. I see it as it's like kids in Europe who are allowed to like have wine or beer as a teen, so it's not a big deal once they're older. I say legalize the words.
Huh.
I mean, I couldn't disagree more. I think you walk into a place and you're swearing or whatever, you wouldn't walk into a job interview. You wouldn't swear in the office at your work. I mean, depending on what it is you do for a living.
I think there's something to be said about teaching kids about swear words so they know what's bad, why is it bad.
9 months and 3 years.
Well, right, that's not an educational time, yeah. But I don't think it's the, like, if one or two slip out, you know, when you're in
different.
Front of them, it's a different story.
Yeah, different. And it's different on how it's being used and the tone and the energy behind it. I don't know. I don't like it when people do it in front of their kids, but I can't tell them what to do. You know what I mean? But I'm not the person who's ever swearing in front of somebody else's kids. If I do, it's me making a mistake and I apologize.
I mean, how often is it, Raquel? Is it like every once in a while? Is it like part of your...
I mean, it's frequent. I'm not arguing that I don't curse a lot. I do. I like to emphasize. I have a lot of passion. These words just kind of slip out of my mouth when I'm making my point. Very difficult right now not to be doing it. But I think that that's okay.
Wow, really?
Everybody's doing it.
Well, I don't know.
They're going to hear it on the radio. Maybe not. I don't know. Did they hear it on the radio? They hear it in music. It's riddled in music. And so they're not going to escape it, at least if I teach them, you know, how and when to use it.
I know she sounds nuts. I'm sorry, Raquel. But, like, there is an element of truth I think, to what you're saying. It's all part of parenting, is teaching your children what these words mean, why you should use them, why you shouldn't use them, what situations they're absolutely not to be used. But
I mean, what situations are they required? That would be my question.
I just don't want my kids to learn about these words on the bus or at school. I want them and to not know what it is, because that was like a lot of me growing up. Was like, you know, I didn't know a lot of things. And then I had to find out, and a lot of it was wrong information coming from my friend's big brother or something along that lines. I don't know what the right or wrong answer to this, but 9 months and 3 years, they don't know what that means.
Should you swear in front of your young children? 1-800-330-9999. It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
Is it that big a deal if you swear in front of your kids? Raquel and Adam have two young children, a 9-month-old and a 3-year-old. And Adam is not happy with the fact that Raquel's got a potty mouth and she's constantly saying bad words.
Yeah, I mean, Raquel completely discounts the whole situation, just says, I'm spirited, I'm passionate, this is the way I like to express myself. It adds some emphasis to some things that I'm doing from time to time. I swear pretty frequently, and I don't see any problem with it. They don't understand what's going on. But, you know, to me, Anna, it's the same thing. Like, if you've got loud televisions or concussive, like, you know, different events happening around your kids, you put headphones on them. You take them to a monster truck thing, you put headphones on them. We're worried about what they're being exposed to at concerts, but not right in front of their parents when they're swearing.
You know, so I see both sides of this. I think that there's one thing if you're excessively saying bad words, like that's weird. But I mean, as a mom, I would be a liar if I didn't admit that every once in a while it slips out of frustration or whatever.
That's very different than using it in all your conversation all the time.
What do you think? Is this such a big deal? 1-800-330-9999. Carol, whose side are you on?
I'm on the husband's side. I don't think you should swear in front of young children, because it's not going to stop. It's going to keep going as they get older. Children learn what they're taught. And if they think this is a normal thing to do, they're going to be doing it all the time in front of other people, in front of teachers, in front of adults, everywhere, in front of other kids.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court. Is it such a big deal if you swear in front of your kids? Raquel and Adam have a 9-month-old baby and a 3-year-old. And Raquel's got a potty mouth. She admits it. She says, yeah, I swear a lot, but they're little. And honestly, they're going to have to learn these words at some point.
They don't need to learn them when they're 3. They don't need to learn them when they're 5. They don't need to learn them when they're 10. They don't. They really, really don't. I mean, these are all just excuses because she likes to swear. Let's be honest. Listen, I get into modes. There's certain days where I swear a lot. All of a sudden, they're just flying out left and right. But, you know, there's a way to turn it on and off. I wouldn't use it in public usually. You wouldn't want to use it at your workplace. Why would you want to use it in front of your young, impressionable children?
And that's what Adam says, her husband. He wants her to stop. But what do you think? Is it such a big deal? 1-800-330-9999. Nancy, whose side are you on?
Okay, well, I dropped the F-bomb once in front of my kids when they were little. And my daughter ended up repeating it to my husband. Mm. And I am there. She's 31, and I'm still living down that story. Mm. Now, I swear, I do. I, you know, sometimes I agree with her. Like, it adds emphasis to something. But around kids, I'm a teacher. You really have to be careful. And a 3-year-old's going to repeat. and then the 3-year-old's parents, friends are going to say, you know, please, you know. I don't want your daughter playing with my daughter.
It just seems so unnecessary to me. We're talking about playing, you know, Beethoven and Mozart for kids when they're in the room, but we've got no problem with all of a sudden they're 6 months out, and it's inconvenient for me to not say the F-bomb. I mean, grow up.
Right.
Do better.
Hey, Cindy, what do you think?
Oh, totally on the husband's side. I used to have a colleague that would swear all the time, and she was an intelligent person, but it just made her look awful. Yep. And it's like, you don't want your kids to swear, and you're going to become that mom. I'm totally with the dad.
Hey, Dawn, what do you think? Whose side are you on today?
I'm on the husband's side, because I had a 2-year-old who repeated something his father said in church in front of the pastor.
Mm-hmm. And now you're all going to hell.
And I was...
Right.
I was mortified. I mean, it was funny, but I was mortified. At least Pastor laughed and said, guess he was working with Dad. And that was, you know, it can be very embarrassing. You never know when it's going to come out of their mouth.
Even at church.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Adam, our audience agreed with you today. You know, Raquel, you got to bring it back. They're young. They absorb everything, and like my daughter's teacher just told me, they hear everything you're saying even when they're not in the room. So even though you don't think that they're picking up on it, they probably are, and that's not what you want, ultimately, because you don't want to be embarrassed when your three-year-old walks into preschool and says one of these words.
Exactly.
All right. I will work on it. I am not going to be perfect, and I don't want to have to be perfect, but I will work on it, Adam.
Raquel, you can set a date where you guys can discuss all the bad words before they go to middle school or high school or whatever, right? Privately.
I love that.
Right after your 12th birthday. We'll sit down together.
I love that.
All right. Like, this is what this one means. This is what that one means. Wow.
PowerPoint presentation available.
Right. You can start writing them down now. That way you don't miss any.
All right. If you have a problem, too, send an email. couplescore@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven cash jackpot is $700 thanks to Always Night Pads. Stop leaking overnight on your period. Always Night Pads are designed for a perfect night's sleep with up to 100% leak protection, so you can do your sleep thing. Okay, Jim, you ready to play?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, please leave the room.
You got it. Good luck, Jim.
Okay. Raven's walking out of here. That big old studio door is going to close, and Jimmy's not going to be able to hear us because we're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring Raven back in. He gets the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. You ready?
Sounds good. Ready.
Number one, Jafar Jackson will play Michael Jackson in an upcoming biopic about the King of Pop's life. What is Jafar's relation to Michael Jackson?
His nephew.
Number two, Meghan Markle and Prince Harry are once again in the news after launching their new website, Sussex.com. What's the name of Prince Harry's 2023 memoir?
No. Don't know. Sorry.
That's okay. Number three, a new YouTube series was launched called Bluey Book Reads, and the show is going to feature celebrity guests reading stories based on episodes from the show. In the show Bluey, what's Bluey's sister's name?
Pinky.
Number four, Beyonce surprised fans when she showed up at the Luar show to support her nephew in his debut runway modeling gig. What city's fashion week ended yesterday?
Paris.
And number five, the most liked Super Bowl commercial, according to USA Today's ad meter, was by State Farm with Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito. They starred in what 1988 movie together?
Twins.
Okay. Let me bring Raven back in.
There we go.
All right. So Jim only got 2.
Not great, Jim. Let's see how I do.
Number one, Jafar Jackson will play Michael Jackson in an upcoming biopic about the King of Pop's life. What is Jafar's relation to Michael Jackson?
He's his nephew.
Yes. Which brother's son is it? It's
LaToya's son.
No, it's not.
I thought it was.
It's not.
The photo I saw. Does it matter?
No, but I know it, and it's bothering me, but it's not LaToya. Number two, Meghan Markle and Prince Harry are once again in the news after launching their new website, Sussex.com. What's the name of Prince Harry's 2023 memoir?
Spare.
Spare is correct. You guys are tied at 2. Number three, a new YouTube series was launched called Bluey Book Reads. The show will feature celebrity guests reading stories based on episodes from the show. In the show Bluey, what's Bluey's sister's name?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. Margaret.
No, it's Bingo.
Bingo.
Number four, Beyonce surprised fans when she showed up at the Luar show to support her nephew in his debut runway modeling gig. What city's fashion week ended yesterday?
Just take a shot and say Paris.
No, New York.
Number five. I knew that, actually. Yeah, I did know
You
that.
Didn't, because you said Paris.
No, I did, because it was something about the hotels I was just reading about, yeah.
Number five, the most liked Super Bowl commercial, according to USA Today's ad meter, was by State Farm with Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito. They starred in what 1988 film together?
Twins.
Twins is right. I'm sorry, he beat you 3-2, Jim. That's going to get you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
All right, sounds good. Thank you. I can't beat Raven.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, bro. $800 tomorrow, Anna.
Jermaine's son. It's Jermaine's son.
Again, unimportant.